A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, at the Sheep Gate, a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, with five porticos. In these lay a large number of ill, blind, lame, and crippled. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I am on my way, someone else gets down there before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your mat, and walk." Immediately the man was healed, took up his mat, and walked. Now that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your mat." He answered them, "The man who made me well told me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who told you, 'Take it up and walk'?" The man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away, since there was a crowd there. After this, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Look, you are well. Do not sin any more, so that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went and told the Jews that Jesus was the one who had made him well. Therefore the Jews began to persecute Jesus because he did this on a Sabbath. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Jesus Christ. How many times have we heard this report from the Gospels that Jesus had to justify or explain his healing or his saving actions because it was the Sabbath? The Jewish leaders were like pesky, persistent mosquitoes, always ready to bite you when you let down your guard. This time, it was carrying your mat on the Sabbath. The mat was likely all the fellow owned. But it was so serious a sin that it trumped whatever good might have happened, such as the man being healed after 38 years of illness. The scribes and the Pharisees were obsessed with collecting whatever data they could to show Jesus as an unfaithful, sinful heretic. They followed him everywhere. They noted his words. They delighted in catching him in a disregard for the law. As I was thinking of what Jesus faced constantly, whenever he would speak or act publicly, I thought of another man from the 1970s, a man who experienced the same kind of reaction from the leaders of his time. He's honored as a saint this day, March 12th, in El Salvador, the first martyr of the struggle there with the authorities in their civil war. The man's name is Rutilio Grande. He was a Jesuit who taught in the seminary for years and then became pastor of a church in Aguilares. He was a close friend and confidant of Bishop Oscar Romero. Many people say that it was Rutilio's preaching and his life and his challenge and his assassination that prompted the bishop's conversion to taking up the cause of the poor and the marginalized, even leading to Romero's own martyrdom. With Rutilio Grande, the secret police and the spies of the military followed him constantly, noting his actions, reporting his every word to the authorities. His sermons were tough. As he had said to his seminarians, Rutilio was preaching to his parish about a radical Jesus, the radical gospel of the dignity and the blessed status of the poor as beloved children of God. Eventually, like Jesus, he was too much of a threat, and he was assassinated. The first of some 18 priests, and eventually 80,000 people who were killed. Rutilio's life and his persecution and his death were witness to a line that he once preached. He said, "It is a dangerous thing to be a Christian in our world." Is it that dangerous in our world? I remember long ago a preacher once asking, "If I were arrested for being a Christian, would they have enough evidence to convict me?"